Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
27 members present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May the General reflect and Reverend Nikolai has previously been excused from the call of the House today.
Our chaplain today is Pastor Greg Lindsay of the Northern Lights United Church. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Once again, respecting the religious traditions of each person present, let us pray. Wonderfully creative God, we praise you for your creative genius. We thank you for sharing your creation, and we listen as you direct our work in caring for it. Lead us to become good stewards of your creation and caregivers of your human family. Renew our joy for living this day. May we see it as a gift from you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lindsay. Mr. Majority Leader, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. The clerk, please certify the journal for the previous legislative day.
I certify the correctness of the journal for the first legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal is certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Are there any objections to the approval of the journal? Hearing no objection, the journal stands approved as read. Do we have guests today for introduction? Representative Robinson?
Yes, Madam Speaker. I have two guests with us today in the Pradovich Gallery. And the first one is Amber Griffin, and she's a General Douglas High School freshman. If she could stand, I'd appreciate it. And also with her today is Mary McClinton, who is also a constituent of mine, who is also a parent volunteer at the high school.
Further guests for introduction. Representative Toohey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Pradovich Gallery, we have an intern from the university in our HES committee this year. Her name is Tiffany Sargent, if you'd please welcome her.
There are no further guests for introduction. We'll take messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor, Madam Speaker.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated January 8th stating that the Senate has confirmed the appointments of Joseph Donahue and Edith Barterstrauss as public members to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. I have no further messages from the other body.
Are there communications?
We received the Governor's Council on Rural Sanitation FY97 budget recommendations from the Department of Environmental Conservation, the Department of Revenue Income and Excise Audit Division Annual Report, and Shared Taxes and Fees Annual Report, the 1995 Annual Report of Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission 1994 Annual Report, which is available on the World Wide Web, from the Department of Administration, Division of Retirement and Benefits, the actuarial valuation reports as of June 30, 1995, for the Alaska Public Employees Retirement System, Teachers Retirement System, and a supplement to the actuarial valuation report. From the Division of Legal and Research Services, the report examining court decisions and opinions of the Attorney General construing Alaska statutes. Advisory opinions 9501 through 9503 from the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. We've received the following audit reports from the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Family and Youth Services, Residential Placement of Youth in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta Region, Special Report on the Department of Corrections, Division of Community Corrections, Special Report on the Department of Labor, Security, Employment Division, Special Report on the Department of Health and Social Services, Alaska Psychiatric Hospital, Fiscal Year 95 Management Plan, Special Report on the Department of Education, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, Business Enterprise Fund, Special Report on the Department of Environmental Conservation, Oil and Hazardous Substance Release Response Fund, Special Report on the Department of Fish and Game, Division of Wildlife Conservation, Cost of Implementing the FY94 Ground-Based Wolf Control Program, a special report on the State of Alaska Statewide Vehicle Management, special report on the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Anchorage International Airport, Lake Hood Operations, special report on the Department of Public Safety Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection, Alaska Fish and Wildlife Safeguard, and single audit for fiscal year ended 1994. Department of Administration, Alaska Public Defender Agency, Office of Public Advocacy, eligibility issues and other program aspects, Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, Healy Clean Coal Project, Department of Revenue, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, certain conflict of interest disclosures, State of Alaska Vehicle Fleet Management. I have no further communications, Madam Speaker.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
There are no standing committee reports.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have resolutions or citations for introduction?
Citation in memoriam, Morton Jacob Barger by Representative Grusendorf and Senator Taylor. House Joint Resolution Number 52 by Representative Porter relating to the creation of a new United States Court of Appeals for the 12th Circuit.
It will be referred to State Affairs and Judiciary.
I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Do we have bills for introduction?
House Bill 404 by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Extending the Termination Date of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners and Providing for an Effective Date.
That will be referred to State Affairs.
House Bill 405 by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Extending the Termination Date of the Board of Examiners in Optometry and Providing for an Effective Date.
Be referred to State Affairs.
House Bill 406 by Representative Williams, entitled An Act Relating to Waste and Use of Salmon and Parts of Salmon, relating to permits for an operation of a salmon hatchery and providing for an effective date.
That will be referred to the Special Committee on Fish and Resources.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. There is no business on the daily calendar. Is there unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have no unfinished business today.
The House briefly summoned at ease, Mr. Majority Leader. This brings us down the calendar to announcements. Are there any announcements? Representative Elton, would you just make a re-notification of the reception tonight, please?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, at your urging here, I'm going to remind people, I thought I was very eloquent yesterday and the people would remember.
You were.
but the community of Juneau has spent a lot of time, and several dozen people have spent a lot of time preparing the reception for all legislators, legislative staff, and members and visitors, members of the Juneau community and visitors to the Juneau community. We hope to see you all there. It's a good time, and I'm going to be taking count to see who isn't there. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Thank you. The schedule for the rest of the day is that we are going to recess until 7:45 this evening to come back in time for the Governor's State of the State Address. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to the House stand in recess.
Your point?
You skipped special orders.
We were going to do special orders this evening after we re-adjourn. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker,
before we adjourn.
I move the House stand in recess until 7:45 p.m. this evening in order to hear the Governor's State of the State address.
This is recessed until 7:45 this evening.
Jerry?
Would the House please come to order? In accordance with the provisions of Uniform Rule 51, I turn the gavel over to the President of the Senate, my friend, the Honorable Drew Pierce.
Yep. Would the joint session please come to order? The purpose of this joint session is the State of the State Address by the Honorable Tony Knowles, Governor of the State of Alaska. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call of the Senate be waived and that all members of the Senate be shown as present.
So ordered. Representative Veazey.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call of the House be waived and all members be shown as present.
Without objection, so ordered. I would like at this time to introduce Alaska's Lieutenant Governor, the Honorable Fran Almer. Hey. It is also my pleasure tonight to introduce to you the First Lady of Alaska, Susan Knowles. Along with Mrs. Knowles this evening are two of the Knowles children, Sarah and Luke. Welcome. I'm not sure that they're yet in the room, but I would like to have the opportunity to introduce Jim Ayers, Chief of Staff, and Pat Pochot, Legislative Director. I will be introducing all the cabinet members we have in attendance tonight. Why don't you hold your applause, and we'll applaud for all of them at the same time. But if you would please stand. First of all, we have Mark Boyer, Department of Administration. Willie Hensley, Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Mike Irwin, Department of Community and Regional Affairs. Margaret Pugh, Department of Corrections. Shirley Holloway, the Department of Education. Jean Burden, Department of Environmental Conservation. Frank Rue, Department of Fish and Game. Karen Perdue, Department of Health and Social Services. Tom Cashin, Department of Labor. Bruce Botello, Attorney General, Department of Law. Adjutant General Jake Lestenkoff, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. John Shively, Department of Natural Resources. Ron Ott, Department of Public Safety. Will Condon, Department of Revenue. Joe Perkins, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And Dr. Jerome Commissar, President of the University of Alaska. Welcome. And since we are televised tonight, I'd like to make a special introduction. Even though this person is not yet one of our members, I'd like to take this time to introduce to the body and to the people of Alaska former Mayor Don Long of Barrow, soon to represent the North Slope. Mr. Mayor. Will Representative Veazey and Senator Green please escort the Honorable Tony Knowles to the joint session. Pardon?
Ladies and gentlemen, Governor of Alaska, the Honorable Tony Knowles.
It is my pleasure to introduce to you, for the State of the State speech, the Honorable Tony Knowles, Governor of the State of Alaska. Mr. Governor.
President Drew Pierce, Speaker Gail Phillips, members of the 19th Alaska Legislature, Lieutenant Governor Fran Ulmer, members of my cabinet, my wife Susan, my children Luke and Sarah, and fellow Alaskans. A year ago, I stood here before you with only 6 weeks on the job, and I talked about my vision for Alaska, a land and a people I hold dear to my heart, and a state I am honored to serve as we all begin a 5-year journey into the 21st century. I've learned a great deal in my first year as governor. None of what I've learned has altered my vision, only widened it. I am convinced more than ever Alaskans are ready for this journey into the next century. As elected leaders, we are honored with a special trust for the responsibility for this journey. That trust is that we will understand and define our common needs and goals. The rungs in the ladder of opportunity that every person climbs are built with all the hands in the community, and on this ladder, there must be room for all. Any person who has ever attended a public school, received a vaccination, been assisted by a firefighter or a police officer, visited a public library, drank a glass of clean water, fished a clear stream, ridden on a public ferry or road, or landed at an airport, knows these rungs were built by the commitment and wisdom of those before us who knew and planned for our common needs. Our responsibility is to make sure those who come next are not only able to make the same journey upward, but that our children have the opportunity to climb even higher. There are those who would take the ladder away, who believe the journey is a survival of the fittest and that those left behind deserve to be, who think we have no obligation to one another and that the consequences will fall on others. This is a tunnel vision that ignores our heritage and ignores and lowers our horizons for the future. Alaska's story is one of challenging and successful journeys. The first Alaskans arrived here thousands of years ago by crossing a formidable land bridge into a new territory. Since then, Alaskans have settled our great land by overcoming the greatest obstacles and the fiercest elements of any frontier in human history. With incredible determination, our pioneers explored the unknown, scaled the Chilkoot Pass, mushed the Iditarod Trail, built the Alaska Highway and Railroad, and laid the oil pipeline. In a sense, the history of our state has been one incredible expedition after another. Our aspirations in the coming years are no more daunting, yet no less attainable. As we prepare to embark on this new journey, all of us must work together. For most Alaskans, our gear list for this Alaska expedition is short. Jobs, better schools, safe, healthy communities, and budget discipline. The first leg of our journey is ensuring that Alaskans have well-paying, meaningful jobs in an intensely competitive new global economy. On that front, there is good news. Alaska's economy is sound. This past year, Alaska marked its eighth straight year of growth to 264,000 jobs, an all-time high. We also set a record for the lowest unemployment rate in years. Tourism's continued growth and a hard rock mining boom underline our message: Alaska is ready and open for business. The value of Alaska's exports, fisheries, timber, petroleum products, accounting for more than 50,000 Alaska jobs, jumped 10% in just the first 9 months of 1995. This trend is especially encouraging as Alaska journeys into the age of the Pacific. There are also exciting new examples of adding value to our resources. In producing our oil for 30 years, we have seen hundreds of millions of dollars of facilities built elsewhere and barged to Alaska. That's changing. In a new model development of the Kuparuk field designed to enhance oil recovery, Alaska companies and Alaska workers are constructing oil modules to help increase production at this mature field. Another success story worth bragging about is in the southeast fishing village of Cake. With innovative technology and entrepreneurial leadership, the Cake Tribal Corporation is processing 35 cent a pound chum salmon into salmon ham and sausage. They're selling for $11 a pound in the Williams-Sonoma Gourmet Food Catalog. Get your order in, buy Alaska. I can personally vouch for their quality. One of my administration's jobs initiative is our partnership with the business that serves as a key part of Alaska's economic engine, the oil and gas industry. That partnership has already paid dividends to Alaskans. On the national front, Alaskans worked together to persuade Congress and the President to end the two-decades-old discriminatory ban on exporting Alaska oil. Lifting the ban is expected to translate into new North Slope development and perhaps $40 million to the state treasury next year. Right now, we are partnering with industry to sell Alaska oil and natural gas to thirsty Pacific Rim markets. I'm working with the federal government to make construction of a natural gas pipeline a national priority. We've made more progress than ever to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to environmentally responsible oil and gas development. Both houses of Congress have approved oil development for the first time. This is a tribute to the dedication and cooperation of hundreds of Alaskans, Alaska companies, our congressional delegation, and the bipartisan efforts of many of you in this legislature. Yet, as I speak tonight, Washington politicians remain in a dangerous game of constitutional chicken. Regardless of what happens with the Arctic Refuge in the next few weeks, my administration will keep up our full court press to convince Congress, the President, and America that development can be done right. In Alaska, we are working to provide the tools necessary to keep healthy the oil industry and the jobs of thousands of Alaskans who depend on it. Last year, I established an oil and gas policy council to look at ways to make Alaska more competitive. Most in this chamber supported our legislation to provide incentives for the development of new marginal oil fields. This measure can also lengthen the life of Cook Inlet fields and could encourage production of billions of barrels of undeveloped heavy oil on the North Slope. In our continuing effort to make government responsive from the customer side of the counter, we will ask the legislature to join us in an innovative experiment to encourage more oil development more quickly. Our proposal for area-wide leasing on the North Slope will provide the industry the certainty of annual lease sales and regulatory efficiency, and provide the state the benefits of jobs and more development. The success of any partnership requires give and take by both sides. This year, it is incumbent on the oil industry to do better in two areas. First, increase Alaska hire and the use of Alaska companies. Second, expand the use of the best technology available to ensure the safe transportation of oil. As the state encourages the development of marginal oil fields and prepares for ANWR, it must be done with Alaska workers and Alaska companies. The facilities required for that development, such as oil field modules, should be assembled not in Canada or Louisiana, but by the highly qualified workers who live here in Alaska. As we begin to market our oil abroad, it's vital Alaskans have the safest transportation system available. An old sourdough, who was not aging as gracefully as he would have liked, once remarked, "If I had known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself." Unlike that sourdough, it's our responsibility to take care of air, land, and water we call home. In fact, as I mentioned last year, if we treat our fish, wildlife, and wildlands as a permanent fund, we can live off the dividends forever. Alaska's goal this year is to fix any loopholes that prevent us from having the world's finest oil transportation delivery and spill prevention system in Prince William Sound. We will fulfill our commitment to America that in Alaska we do development right. key to Alaska's successful journey is a healthy private sector, which provides the bulk of jobs for Alaskans. Our Marketing Alaska initiative convened more than 100 business leaders from all industries to develop an aggressive plan for Alaska's long-term economic health. In the next few weeks, we will unveil that plan to grow Alaska's economy and expand our horizons far into the next century. Two other tools vital to building our economy are the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. By resisting raids on their reserves, AHFC has been removed from Wall Street's credit watch, and ADA is a stronger job-creating partner, particularly in areas of highest unemployment. Also on our jobs agenda is welfare reform. We have worked hard, using bipartisan consensus points from last session, to reform welfare in a way that puts Alaskans to work and helps Alaska's truly needy. It also corrects the harsh and unintended consequences of last year's bill on Alaska's children. Alaska's passion for hard work, coupled with our compassion for those in need, will guide us on our way to fair-minded welfare reform. Management of Alaska's vast fish and game resources is one of our most important tools for economic development and for defining who we are. Yet that opportunity is threatened by the pending federal takeover of fish and game management because of our refusal to resolve the subsistence issue. Last year, I urged Alaskans to begin a resolution based on two consensus points. First, a recognition of the essential role of subsistence in the culture and economy of rural Alaska. And second, a recognition that the state, not the federal government, is best able to manage Alaska's fish and game resources. I ask Lieutenant Governor Ulmer to undertake a mission of quiet diplomacy to try to reach agreement among Alaskans. We are moving forward to achieve a resolution that calls for a constitutional amendment and state and federal statutory changes. The Lieutenant Governor deserves our thanks for a courageous and productive effort. I believe a wide majority of Alaskans across this state support finding a solution to subsistence, and they want an opportunity to vote on it. Once and for all, let's agree to a just resolution and regain control of Alaska's resources. In three other areas last year, Alaskans made progress by working together to find a consensus, adopting new clean water regulations, mediating differences between sport and commercial fishing interests in Cook Inlet, and standing up to Canada over Alaska's salmon rights. Alaskans win by resolving resource disputes over a conference table, not a judicial bench. I urge Alaskans on all of these controversies to show the courage to take advantage of our historic opportunity to resolve these issues on our own terms. The most important survival tool that Alaskans have along their journey into the coming century is education. If you really want to see Alaska's future, look into our children's eyes. Alaska's public education system, from kindergarten through higher education at the University of Alaska, is the ticket to an enlightened and well-trained workforce. My concern is for many Alaskan children who increasingly find themselves unprepared to compete. President Kennedy said, "Our progress as a nation can be no swifter than our progress in education." This year, my administration will continue our initiatives designed to prepare Alaska's children for the challenges of the global economy. First is our family-based Healthy Start program to help Alaska's children get a better start early in life and to enter school healthy, nourished, and ready to learn. Second is raising the academic standards for our public education students. We've already elevated those standards in key study areas, math, reading, writing, science, citizenship. Now we need to make sure that those standards have teeth. To do that, I will ask the State Board of Education to establish an accreditation process to require schools to make sure our students achieve at the highest academic levels. That leads right into my third education effort, consensus over one of last session's more divisive issues, professional teaching standards. Since last May, a coalition of teachers, parents, school board members, and school administrators hammered out a consensus that provides for excellence in the education profession based on our newly adopted state teacher standards. And in the year after, Alaska's own Elaine Griffin was honored as America's Teacher of the Year, this consensus bill deserves your quick approval. The devastating effect of crime on our neighborhoods and on our communities is a major obstacle threatening the successful completion of Alaska's journey. We must give law enforcement the tools to crack down on crime. We must impose serious consequences on serious criminals. We must commit ourselves to preventing crime before it occurs. I urge the legislature to devote its attention to several crime bills we introduced last year, but which have not yet been addressed. They include making parents accountable for criminal acts of their children, stronger laws against gang activity, and zero tolerance for kids drinking and driving. You have also before you our tough new auto theft bill to take the joy out of joyriding. To combat the dangerous growth in crime committed by Alaska's children and to address our seriously overcrowded prisons, we are developing a statewide criminal justice plan. Prompted by last fall's Youth Justice Conference, we are reviewing the entire juvenile justice system to improve both how we prevent crime and punish those who commit it. While crimes committed in our streets receive appropriate widespread public attention, there's another insidious crime often committed behind closed doors: domestic violence against Alaska's women and children. Shamefully, Alaska leads the nation in the rate of child sexual and physical abuse. Alaska women are killed at an appalling rate, 1.5 times the national average. Native women in our state are especially vulnerable, murdered at a rate 4.5 times the national average. 80% of all homicides investigated by the Alaska Troopers last year were related to domestic violence. There is one incident which I believe dramatically illustrates Alaska's domestic violence problem and why combating it will be our top crime priority this year. It was 30 degrees below zero last February 17th when State Troopers Rose Edgren and Steve Baer responded to a plea for help outside Delta Junction. A woman had been assaulted by her husband. She and her three children feared for their lives. In the fading light and falling temperatures, the troopers searched the ground in futility, snow crunching under their boots. Suddenly, Trooper Edgren caught the movement of a man silhouetted in the window of a nearby house, a high-powered rifle in his hands. Trooper Edgren pushed her partner to safety just as the suspect emerged from the house, his .30-06 leveled at the two, only 14 feet away. Trooper Edgren squeezed off a shot a fraction of a second before a bullet from the man's rifle slammed into the building near her. Until an ambulance arrived 15 minutes later, the two troopers coolly administered first aid to the perpetrator's chest injuries inflicted by Trooper Edgren's shot. This abuser is now in prison, convicted of attempted murder. For her quick thinking and 7 years of dedicated public service, Trooper Edgren is one of the four finalists for National Trooper of the Year. She's here tonight, and so on behalf of all Alaskans, I am recognizing her as an exemplary public employee and presenting her today the State Medal for Heroism. Please join me in honoring a true Alaska heroine, Alaska State Trooper Rose Edgren. While we honor Trooper Edgren's outstanding performance, let it also underscore for us the tragedy of that and similar events. To break the vicious cycle of domestic violence that haunts Alaska, I am introducing a major revision of our domestic violence laws. This package will better safeguard its victims and stiffen the prosecution of those who commit it. We must act now to shed light on Alaska's darkest and most shameful secret. Remembering that many of today's criminals are yesterday's victims, we must do all that we can to prevent crime before it occurs. In that vein, a forward-thinking Alaska legislature 8 years ago created a children's trust whose earnings were to be used to prevent the abuse and neglect of Alaska's children. I salute many of you in this chamber who were at the forefront of that effort. Senator Johnny Ellis, Representatives Kay Brown, Mike Navarre, Ramona Barnes, Betty Davis, and then Representative Fran Ulmer, now Alaska's Lieutenant Governor. Unfortunately, the trust never received a dime. Together, we're going to change that. I will reconstitute the Alaska Children's Trust and work with the legislature on a public-private partnership to address the special needs of our troubled children who are falling through the cracks. This capitalized endowment will give Alaska's most vulnerable a ray of hope. Tonight, I've charted a journey for Alaska's great expedition. Yet, we need a final element to make it to our destination, and that's budget discipline. The early pioneers, struggling with careful steps over the Chilkoot Pass, had to decide what they could afford to leave behind to make it through the pass and on to their destinies. Like the pioneers, we must muster the courage to say no to some of our wants today if we're to say yes to some of our children's needs tomorrow. On Thursday evening during my budget address, I will detail the careful steps we must take to balance Alaska's budget. To accomplish everything before us, there is no more important task than balancing Alaska's budget. I believe any long-term budget plan must provide a safe landing for Alaska's families and be based on five principles. One, we must close the budget gap and balance the budget. Two, we must continue to cut the budget. Three, we must protect and enlarge the permanent fund. Four, any plan to raise taxes and fees to pay for essential services must be fair. And five, there will be no tinkering with the permanent fund without a vote of the people. Business investment and growth in our economy and the jobs that they produce for Alaskans will not be possible unless we balance the budget. The unity that we show in these 4 months ahead will set the tone for our journey. Now, the so-called political pundits are all predicting, indeed promoting and anticipating, that this will be a acrimonious and partisan session, the old business as usual. It doesn't have to happen. Let's rise above that and use our diversity as a strength to forge a new relationship that puts Alaskans first. We've all witnessed recently how partisanship in Washington, D.C. has paralyzed that nation, and that's in addition to that 3 feet of snow. But this year, we should dedicate ourselves to rewriting that old bumper sticker so it would now read, "We won't do it the way they do it outside." As your governor, I'm honored to chart this journey of Alaska's family and offer my vision of where Alaska is heading, into a new century, bright with opportunities, and into an era of change that we should not fear, but welcome. To arrive safe and sound will require discipline and courage, but above all, unity. A unified vision of jobs, better schools, safe, healthy communities, and budget discipline. This is not an extravagant vision. When you think about it, it's plain and simple, just as it should be. It's about a future Alaska our children and our grandchildren will feel just as proud and just as lucky to call home as all of us do right now. That's where we're going, together. Thank you.
I would remind the Senate members we need to go back to the Senate floor to adjourn for the evening. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the joint session stand in adjournment.
Back so we can adjourn.
What?
House, please come to order. Would the members indicate their presence to verify a quorum? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Oh, wait, just a moment. Would the clerk please lock the roll and tally the board?
29 members present.
We do have a quorum present. Looks like 30 to conduct business. We're on the calendar. We're under special orders. Are there special orders? Representative Kelly.
Madam Speaker, where is to the spam can? On the
further special orders? And no other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjournment until 10 o'clock a.m. January 10th.
We're adjourned until 10 a.m. January 10th.